Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about the actor's compulsion to make sure that the audience gets every little thing they're doing, and why that's a mistake. I'll explain. There is a phrase that I often use in my classes where I will say to the actor, you know, you're dropping too many breadcrumbs. Now, of course, the reference would be to Hansel and Gretel and them dropping breadcrumbs so they could hopefully find their way home. But then, of course, as we know, the birds ended up eating the breadcrumbs and, of course, they couldn't find their way. So the idea would be is that it leads us. It's supposed to allow us to follow the trail. That's how I use it. The dutiful actor wants to make sure that the audience can follow what is going on. The dutiful actor wants to make sure that in their rendition, in their rendering of their character for the audience to see, for their part of the story, that the audience could then follow what's going on. I mean, it only makes sense. You know, the actor looks at something and discovers that in this particular scene, they're heartbroken. In this particular scene, they're lying. In this particular scene, they're getting information that they already knew about. And, you know, they're part of that plan. And so when the person gives them the info, you know, they have to pretend like they don't know anything about what this fellow is talking about. But they want to make sure that the audience gets that, oh, hold on a second. This guy might very well be a part of it. That's what he's kind of letting us know. I mean, after all, you would think that would be part of the story, right? That we make sure the audience can follow what's going on, and so I'll drop little breadcrumbs, little things to make sure that the audience gets it and can follow along. Clever things. I sit down too quickly. I stand up too quickly. I clear my throat. I shove that bit of paper in my pocket a little too fast. And then I straighten up as if I'd not done anything. Little things that the audience can see, so they know, in fact, that that thing I just did is a result of that particular person coming into the room. And if I'm really clever, I do it in the most slight way, so the audience can see it, you see, and they can follow along with me through my story. You know, the problem I have with that is that, of course, if the audience can see it, of course, you know, sitting out in a movie house or in a theater, how is it the person who just walked in didn't see it? I mean, I want you to really think about how clever you have to be in life for someone not to know something. I mean, think about those moments that you had to just turn on a dime. You were talking on a phone and to a person that you should not be, like definitely ever, and somebody opens up the door that should not catch you talking to that person. Do you know how even when you stop and you transition kind of ultra fast into this new way of being, that you make sure there's not even a stutter, stop, acceleration, anything weird? You somehow are able in that millisecond to turn whatever phrase you were about to say that would not have been good to be heard and turn that into some other sentence. Just turn the words right around and suddenly we're talking about, you know, something else beautifully. Or we cancel what we're saying, but we do in a way that doesn't seem like it was truncated, but somehow properly punctuated. If we have something in our hand and the person that's walking up is not supposed to see it, and it's something, say, you'd have to read, or it was small enough to palm, the way that we are able to do it in plain sight, but in a way that does not make any kind of emotional waves. Think about that. think about being somewhere you shouldn't be and the way somebody suddenly says, what are you doing back here? And the way that you're able to seamlessly, without looking like you've been caught even, move into this next thing and create this next moment that has nothing to do with what you were really doing there. Listen, sometimes, you bobble it. It happens. Just like in movies, sometimes we want to see the bobble. What I'm speaking to in this particular podcast is about when we are actually showing people that we're bobbling and we're not supposed to be seen bobbling. And so I say, you don't ever, ever need to do it. Now, listen, I know there are people out there right now going, what? That's a good thing, because I tell you what, I never do. I never do that. No, I am the unbubbler. Yeah, I know, but I'm just telling you that like 95% of the actors I work with, 98, exhibit some sort of bubbling. It's one of those things that's kind of just ingrained into what we think acting is. The idea that I figure out my part and I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and so I kind of imprint that, you see. I imprint it. I said, okay, the guy comes in, I have to now cover. And so without realizing, what I'm doing is I'm actually programming myself to cover. So that's what I start thinking about, okay, and cover. But in real life, we don't really end cover. We don't do that. We actually, the way that we sell it is that we actually allow ourselves to move into this new reality that we're suddenly going to share. That's how we really lie and switch gears and fend off, you know, having to tell the truth, is that we really kind of allow ourselves to accept this new reality we've concocted, whatever it is we say we're talking about, whatever it is that we say we were just having a discussion about. What were you talking about on the phone there with Sally when I walked in? Orca whales. Yeah. She was just up in, I don't know, I forget now, Alaska. I really wasn't paying attention when she was talking, to be honest. But it was up there in Alaska somewhere, and they were on kayaks, and they saw a whole pod of orca whales. And anyway, she has some pictures she's going to send me. When I get them, I'll show you. I'll see what they're all about. And we just make up this whole thing. And we're even smart enough to pick up something like orca whales, because suddenly it is so, it's such a leap. You know, it's such a large kind of concocted story with a lot of moving parts that the person listening figures, oh, okay, that's probably what it had to be. I mean, you know, who would turn around and tell me, you know, if they're actually having an affair, that, you know, it was a orca whales, and then, you know, somehow we get out of it, right? Now, listen, maybe you've never told an orca whale story. Maybe you've never had to make one up, you know, but you've done something. And if you really just honestly sit and think about it, you're going to know what I'm talking about. You know, this is almost like one of those things that no one wants to admit. We don't want to admit how great we are at lying and fooling and keeping people from seeing what's really going on, from obfuscating the actual thing. We're very good. Some of us, of course, better than others, but we're very good at being able to keep things from people. Well, listen, I mean, we've had practice. Right. We've had lots of practice. We've been doing that since we were little children. And we had no idea how all the flour in the kitchen got over everything. Didn't we all tell those stories? Didn't we all get better at being able to do that? We have been practicing our ability to hide, to obfuscate the truth, to get out of situations, to get into situations. We have been practicing that stuff our whole lives. Wouldn't it make sense that by and large, when push came to shove, we would be great at it? We wouldn't always clear our throat when we were caught in a tough situation, because we know that clearing your throat is the universal sign for discomfort. Even if we had something in our throat to clear, we would simultaneously know as we went to clear it, don't do it now. You were just asked a question and they're looking for the truth. If you clear your throat, it's not going to work. And there's little microprocessors in your mind which shut that clear down, you see. And then after you got through a certain point, you would do it. But not then. I can't tell you how many actors I bust all the time about clearing their throats. They'll even look at me and say, I cleared my throat. And I'll say, yes, you definitely did, right when you were lying. Now, I know this may seem small to you, but you see, I believe in the type of storytelling, and I think that's what everyone wants today, where you really need to pay attention. And it's for intelligent people to figure it out. And most people, when it comes to just basic human behavior, I'm not talking about plot points and very busy writing where you got to remember 13 names and what those organizations meant. And I'm not talking about the kind of intellect that can follow those things. No, I'm talking about the basic emotional intellect we all have when we watch people and decide if they're lying, are they fibbing, are you telling the truth? I mean, this is the thing that we have just through nature developed our entire lives and sharpened because it's been a matter of survival. Is this a good guy, a bad guy? Is this a good gal, a bad girl? Is this a good boss, a bad boss? You know, is this thing worth what they're telling me it's worth? Is this thing really what he said, what she said? And when you get tricked enough, when you've been fooled enough, when you've been let down enough, as we are, as we just kind of go through life in a million different ways, we get better at seeing it, at being able to identify it, and certainly then in the counterplay, we get really good at being able to just bend things in a way that just helps make for, at the moment, a more easy passage, shall I say? And so, wouldn't it make sense, folks, that we need to use those same kind of accurate, clever ways of being? And we trust that if we just let the chips fall, the story itself, really, the director, other people, you know, the writers, those people will have packed in how everything gets sorted by the time the thing is over. And it doesn't need our, as actors, our inauthentic little drops of breadcrumbs so that the audience can make sure they figure out what's really going on. Oh, come now. If you think about it, if you really stop to think about it, you would admit that when you see that in storytelling, in movies, in plays, think about it. You don't like it. You're in your head going, well, duh. Right? So why do it? I know you said, I don't. You do. You do. I swear to you, you do. You do. All actors do. They do. You know how I know? Because I watch acting all the time. All the time. All the time. And the great actors that I work with will do little things, and I'll say it. And they go, did I do that? Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, well, I don't want to do that. And they go back, and they don't. I'm telling you, it's like in the fabric. And so I would say, really, really focus on this, okay? Stop thinking about your rendering of what's going on and really focus more on what you need, really, honestly, that other person, that situation in front of you that's seeing you, the real one, the one in the story, what you really want them to see. And forget the audience. I would much rather an actor do that. And then if I needed a little tick or tell, you see, if I felt that I wanted to do that for whatever reason, it might be a tick so that the other character could make the tell at that moment. And I think that's an interesting aspect of the story. And so we will figure out how to do that. We will figure out a way that you could most cleverly bobble the ball for a second if we wanted to orchestrate something. But I would rather the default of the actor be never, ever do that. Whatever you would actually have the other characters, other situation in the scene see, whatever you would have them see, that's all you're allowed to show the audience. No extra, no nod, no wink, no funny little hand movement so we know, oh, okay, I get you. Right? If I don't want you to know something, I don't drop breadcrumbs so that some unseen person not watching me, if they were, could perhaps follow what's going on. That's never a part of my life. I don't drop breadcrumbs at all in life. I mean, if I can help it. If I don't want someone to know what's going on, guess what? You don't know what's going on. That's how it works. Why? Well, because it's very important for me for you not to know what's going on, clearly. Because if I wanted you to know what's going on, I would tell you. Now, I know many of you are thinking, yes, but that's real life and the other is, you know, it's fiction. We're telling a story. Yeah, but as I keep saying, and I've said in the videos I've done, I know I go over it in the book and in other ways in some of the other podcasts, the way we keep the audience intrigued, first of all, is to make them connect the dots. It's no fun to watch something when we're just kind of being led along. I mean, we'll be led along like, you know, cattle and just kind of go along, but it doesn't make us think. It doesn't make us get more involved. It doesn't make us have to, you know, kind of keep rapt attention to what's going on, because we can tell this is going somewhere, but we can't quite figure it out. So we want to really lean into it. It's kind of a conscientious thought, really, for the artist to think that they should indeed make sure the audience can follow along on this fun ride. But I don't think it's needed. In fact, I think the opposite is true. People love mystery. They love to figure things out. And so, what is the best way to do it? As always, the easiest way to do it is to always go to the book of life and think, okay, what really happens in real life? And let's always start with that. What happens? Well, I think you could agree that in any given situation, if you don't want someone to know what's going on, they don't know what's going on. That's how it is. The other night, a couple of the actors did a scene from Luther, the Idris Elba series. And one guy's playing the Luther character, and there's a woman. The woman, from what I can get, is a bad person. She's being questioned for whether or not she, in fact, murdered her own parents, shot her own dog. She's kind of a bit of a sociopath, I'm sure, yet she's, you know, kind of very clever and outspoken and a little sexy. And you know, the way she kind of goes after the Luther character, she starts hitting on the fact that he's no longer wearing his wedding band. And so what happened there? And, you know, she's going right for the soft spot. She's really going in there. She's on the attack, you know. And of course, what this is supposed to do is to show us really just how clever and tough, mean, direct, and make us wonder whether or not that indeed makes the killer that she is, or is she just this, like, really upfront, outspoken, slightly angry person, you know? There's the confusion there, yes. Well, when the woman, the actress, was going after the actor and started, you know, picking at him for the fact he's not wearing his ring and has he broken up with his wife and really trying to get him to unravel, the guy was showing all that, glanced down at his ring, you know, got a little nervous, tried to, you know, change the subject, but it was very breadcrumby. Breadcrumbs were dropped, and I stopped and said, man, first of all, would you want that lady to see that? And you know what this means? This means that she, her A-game suddenly, is to kind of attack you and the fact that, you know, you've now broken up with your wife. And then what's supposed to happen? You're supposed to unravel? That's supposed to just take your needs out from underneath you. You're supposed to go down with that, and now you got to kind of bobble the ball for a second and keep on going forward. I said, how is it then that you actually are this very clever, crafty character of Luther? How is that possible? Are you kidding me? Why didn't she just call you Fatty Fatty 2x4? Maybe you'll go crying out of the room. I mean, in real life, if that happened, I think being any kind of person who has any kind of control and has had the experience of dealing with devious and mean and outrageous people, you could probably weather the little, digs at whether or not you're together. And if they kind of came on to you sexually all of a sudden, were really upfront about it, would that throw you off your game? And even if it did catch you off guard, even if her blatant aggressive behavior did catch you off guard in real life, would you ever let her see you bobbling the ball? No. Of course you wouldn't. Ever. Hey, we run into, really tough situations in life. Suddenly, the ex is there at the party and here I am with this and I got that over there and I didn't realize he was going to be here too. Oh my goodness. We are very good at being able to just be cool hand Luke through that stuff. Now you say, but how will the audience figure this out? Well, think about it for a second. Let's pretend that the audience in the particular scenario I just made up knows your ex. She's in the beginning of the film, and this other fellow, maybe he's the one that had the affair and was caused the breakup, and now you're there with a new woman. Everyone knows everything, let's say. Okay? Imagine how they're going to be checking you out as soon as this thing unfolds in front of you. And if you didn't drop too many breadcrumbs, hopefully none at all, and tried to rise above the situation to keep it together and move through it, can you see how that would be more interesting to the audience? Because they'd be leaning in, man. They'd be staring at you. They'd be wondering, are you going to be coming unglued? They'd be clocking every single little thing you did. And what kind of a statement would it make, even if they knew that your heart was broken, if you were able to pull it off? Do you understand how at that moment they would be marveling and thinking about aspects of human nature, of the human condition, that perhaps, if nothing else, out of survival, has us being able to handle these incredible situations and get through them because it's like our life depends on it, and so we do. And it makes us think about that. In the other instance, if in fact you drop a bunch of breadcrumbs and suddenly stutter and stammer and look like you're going to cry or something's really weird and you spill your drink, okay. But what do we think about? All we have to think about is then the inevitable conclusion of how this is going to go. And so we say, I wonder how this is going to end up. But do we really think about anything? Do we really lean in? Do we ever wonder? No, why would we? We don't need to. That's not what makes things interesting, folks. Again, think about how you are in life. Think about how people are, how mysterious they can be, how they don't show you any of their cards. And so, the lesson is, use this as a rule of thumb, okay? Stop thinking about what you need to be going through, what you need to be feeling, what's going on with you, what's happening with you that you feel you need to show the audience. And really limit it to, what do I want the other person to see? That's it. What do you want the other character to understand about you? If you want them to understand that you are crumbling right now and you think that's what's needed in the scene in order to get you where you need to be, as far as what the character needs in the scene or needs to accomplish, then yes, tally-ho, absolutely do that. But if you don't think it's going to be effective for you to suddenly crumble at her satirical comments about your ex-wife and, who you are now or something, if you don't think that would be good for her to see these things, then by all means, don't do them, because in real life, you would have the power not to. if I gave a scene where I said, you know, a guy walks into a Starbucks and there was, you know, an ex-friend of his, and, you know, they had a really rough time, really, really bad time. And it ended badly. And now they happen to realize they're standing in line together. And, you know, there is definitely, you know, it ended weird. And so now here they are. If the actor, then his line is, when he gets back out to the car, he tells his friend, "Hey, man, I saw Paul in there. And let me tell you something, I wanted to knock his head off. I just wanted to haul off and just hit him as hard as I could." The actor, I guarantee you, when he does the scene, would do this stuff where his nostrils are flaring and maybe he's kind of rocking back and forth. His fist is almost clenched as he's looking at his buddy, you know, like, "I ought to take you out." Because, of course, that's what he says out in the car. People say this kind of stuff all the time, and they may well have felt it, but they didn't necessarily want the other fellow or everyone else in Starbucks to know this, because, of course, we live in a somewhat civilized society. The actor will think, "Well, I gotta foot the bill here. I mean, it says right here I said that, so obviously when I'm in there, I do that." But you can't just think that stuff. People think things about people all the time, and you'd never know what to look at them until afterwards when the person leaves, and then they give you the skinny on what actually went down or what they were feeling or what their relationship is. You have no idea. Is it fair for us to tell stories like that? No, it's more than fair. It's needed. Because that's how this stuff works in life, and that's what we recognize as most authentic. Oh, can the guy ball up his fist and you know, want to threaten the guy right there in Starbucks? Oh, absolutely. It's probably happening somewhere right now. But that shouldn't be the default. We need to start where we think we would be to begin with. What is the most logical stuff? I ask actors this all the time. What is the most logical way this stuff goes down? What is the most authentic kind of, how would you do it? You know, of course, I ask this all the time. I look at people, I say, "Really? Would you let anyone see you that angry right here, right now? Is that what you do? Who does this? I can tell the whole time you're talking, you loathe the person. Is that what you want the other person to know right now, or is that something you're just thinking? Are there scenes where we want the person to know the whole time that we just want to knock their block off and we loathe them? Of course. But I'm talking about the ones where that isn't necessarily what they're supposed to be doing. That's not the vibe they want to give out, because they, if anything, need to cover that vibe. We need to put a lid on that vibe. We can't have that vibe happening in this scene. It is the thing you can't let the other person know. You don't want them to know you're lying. You don't want them to know that you don't like them anymore. You don't want them to know whatever it is you don't want them to know. And here's how it works. You don't let them know that. Now, I know many of you are thinking, "Well, no, surely that can't be true. I mean, we do have to lead the audience by the hand." No, you do not. You do not, because the audience will figure it out, because there's always enough information, or there will be, or there was. And part of being a clever storyteller is being able to pull the audience in with intrigue and making them need to connect the dots so they can figure out what's going on. Many actors will think that they understand this, and they will say, "Yes, I know that, I know that." And then they will do their scene, and they'll basically be saying, "Watch how cleverly I don't show you what's really going on." Which means they're going to be dropping breadcrumbs, but in their estimation, only the finest breadcrumbs, and just very few. Not at all. Not at all. The criteria is, if you wouldn't drop the same breadcrumbs for the person you're speaking to, don't drop them for the audience. All right. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.